Good morning. This is Glenn Coble, and you're listening to, what are we calling this? On the Air. And we are having a good time. In the first hour of On the Air today, I read The Lorax by Dr. Seuss. It's actually, and we found out through a kind of a trivia thing, that Dr. Seuss, his real name was Theodore Geisel, or Geisel. We're not quite sure how you pronounce the E-I. So I'm guessing it was Geisel, but anyway, could easily be Geisel. But we read The Lorax, and it was all about being green. And I'm using that term in the modern vernacular. I doubt that he would call it green. He would call it conservationists or something along that line. It talks about the Lorax, who is trying to explain to the... I'm trying to remember what the name of the family is. the Wunstlers. Trying to explain to them why they shouldn't chop down all the trees, all the tuffla trees that they have in their area. And he starts out with only one tuffla tree, and he chops that down. He says, that's not so bad. And then he finds out that he can make something really good out of it. So he decides he'll chop down more, and he finally mechanizes it and chops down eventually all the tuffla trees. And unfortunately, while he's doing that, the different critters that live in the area leave. The Swami Swams had to leave because they couldn't breathe anymore. The bears, and I can't remember what their name was, they have to leave first because it's just getting all gummed up, everything. And it's kind of a 40-year-old story about what's really happening to America right now. It might even be happening to the world. I'm not certain about how bad other countries are. I know right now, the United States is, that seems to be one of the least cares that our Congress or our legislature seems to have. Not all of them, just a certain majority of them. Anyway, so I read it. I hope that you enjoy it. What I'd like to do, and you're always welcome to contact me on my Facebook page, which is, by the way, I'll give that to you. I'll give you two things here right away, so I'm going to give you a second to go get your pencil, because we're going to have a swap shop after this, and you might want to call in. So I'm going to give you both the phone number, and also I'm going to give you my Facebook page. I'm sorry, not my Facebook page. My Facebook page is Glenn Coble. But you can also send me a message to my address, my online address. So you ready? Did you go get that pencil? All right. This is what the phone number here at Marion Community Credit Union. That's taking me back. this is the phone number at WWGH that you can call when we're on the air. As long as we don't have another caller on, you can call in. We only have one line that comes in, and that line is 740-383-9944. Let me give that to you again. 740-383-9944. And you can call in on anything that moves you, okay? Or you can call in if we give some trivia questions, which we will do more of this hour and next hour if we don't have a lot of people calling in on Swap Shop. If you can use that phone number to call in, we'll give you an attaboy if you have the correct answer. If you have the bad answer, we'll still thank you for calling in. And let's see, what else was that? Oh, and the other thing that I would like to give you is you can send me a message. If you want to send me a message about shows or about what I'm about to ask you to do, send it to Glenn Coble. That's spelled G-L-E-N-N-C-O-B-L-E. It's all one word, G-L-E-N-N-C-O-B-L-E at hotmail.com. Okay? Glenn Coble at Hotmail. Now, the question I'm going to ask, I've taken it upon myself to read a speech, and this morning I guess it wouldn't be considered a speech. It was actually a whole book by Dr. Seuss, but it was really kind of a speech by the Lorax, right? If you think there's something that would help our audience, now these are just... It can be either on the right side of the aisle or the left side of the aisle. If you think it will help our listeners in any way, please message me at my address and tell me what you'd like to have me read. I look through lots of things. I've got to be a little careful. I did read one speech that lasted 2 days. I mean, it was about an hour and 45-minute speech, so it took a while to get through it. I'd prefer that they be something I can read at least within the hour, okay? Like the Gettysburg Address is 272 words. I can do that in about 3 or 4 minutes. Well, maybe 5 minutes. Some of the things that I've had were, you know, like 10 pages long, so... about 5 pages is about all I can get through in an hour. So, I try to read with conviction and emphasis, and therefore that takes a little bit longer. Now, if you can read really fast, like some of the people on TV, boy, they can read fast, especially when the hour is coming up. I can't read fast, so. Just keep that in mind if you think there's something you'd like to hear, some speech you'd like to hear. I really have gone through just about all the speeches that I had thought about. Now, I know if I sit down and I start to think about it, I will come up with other speeches. I've thought about doing the speech that Roosevelt did when we were bombed at Pearl Harbor. I think it's pretty long. I haven't really looked at it lately. Things like that. Things that will give us insight into who we are as Americans, give us insight into what we should do, like this, the Lorax that I read today is kind of a reminder of what we're doing to ourselves as far as environment goes. Maybe there are some speeches about farm life. I'd love to do that. We have so many farmers in our area that I'd like to respond to reading something that might help them. And no, I don't want to read the Old Farmer's Almanac. I could get a little boring. There might be some passages in there, though, that I might read. I'll look at that. There might be some stuff that would be good. But if you think of something, make sure... to drop me a message at Glenn Coble at hotmail.com, G-L-E-N-N-C-O-B-L-E at hotmail.com. And I will look it over and we'll try to do anything that seems to be appropriate for our listening audience. And I will try to look at the suggestions with a non-partisan eye. If I can use that term, if it's good for our audience, if it's good for the people of Marion, I'll be more than happy to do it. All right. Well, we were doing some trivia about Dr. Seuss, and I think I have about 7 more questions on Dr. Seuss that if you're interested in getting in on our trivia contest. One of them I will pull out, and I'll give you 3 or 4 minutes to call in with the answer. The very first one, though, I'm not going to do that because it would be too easy to look up and look up fast, right? What year was Dr. Seuss born? What year was Theodore Geisel born, or Geisel? We haven't figured that out. Maybe that's a good trivia question. Do you pronounce it Geisel or Geisel? I guess I should know the answer to that. My guess is that's a German word, and I took German, but I wasn't very good at languages, so I really can't remember which way you pronounce that. What year was Dr. Seuss born? 1904. He was older than either of my parents, and I'm not young. I'm so old that my youngest son was 39 yesterday. So anyway, I still think of him as the little guy that beat everybody in the dash, or, you know, I'm kind of like, there's a song, it's a country and western song that talks about a young person who apparently takes his own life, and the singer sings, "I remember him rounding third, going for the winning run. That every time I hear that, I kind of well up. I had that particular situation happen with my youngest son, who was a terrific baseball player. What is the name of the book about breakfast food? Now, I would give you 30 seconds on this one because everybody knows the answer to what is the name of the book that Seuss wrote about breakfast food. Well, of course, it was Green Eggs and Ham. Of course. Now, this one, I might, well, no, because there are too many answers that I can give you that you could give me on this. I'm going to give you the answer in this one. We'll find one a little further down my list here. How many publishers turned down Seuss's first book? Now, if you'll remember, his first book was called And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street. How many publishers turned that down? I have a bit of a background on publishers. I have sent in my memoir to one, which was turned down. I still have it. I keep thinking I'm going to self-publish, which is a good way for young people to get read. But there are lots and lots and lots of books out there that are self-published. You can buy them for 99 cents some places. But my eldest son has written, I think he's up to 4 now, and he's a sci-fi type writer. Doing pretty well with all 4 of them. And his mother says they're good. I've told you that I don't read very much, and his books are a little on the long side. And I'm not a big sci-fi, and I don't really follow that very much. But his mother will read them even if he was writing about heart surgery. You know how moms are. She'll read anything that any of my children do, but she's read several of them, and at least 3 of them. So we have a caller. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the phone. How can we help you?
Hi, Glenn. This is Master James Anderson. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
Wonderful. I just caught the end of your reading, and I'm so glad that you read that book.
Well, good. Thank you. It's something that I'm sure your heart is close to.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I
environment.
Do nature programs for all the audience. My biggest goal is to create that Lulax metaphor into everybody, because if nobody speaks for the trees or anything in nature, just like in that book, unfortunately, they can all disappear, and you don't really get that opportunity for things to come back.
One time, if you don't want your kids to have a nice world to live in, go ahead and keep doing what we're doing, right?
Yes, and fortunately, I mean, it is happening even locally in Marion County. I see, a lot of the farmers that you were talking about, needing to create more land. More space, and unfortunately, they're tearing down, natural spaces.
Let me put you on hold just for a second, all right?
All right.
Ted, did you know Marion, Ohio is the popcorn capital of the world?
No, Scott, I didn't know that. Could you get me some?
I don't have any at the moment.
Some capital. Does anyone have a Chicken Places number?
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
James, we're back again. Everybody, audience, if you're listening, well, if you're not listening, you wouldn't know what I'm going to say. But this is James, and James is on. He does our, he's our naturalist, right? That's the right term.
He's
our naturalist in Marion County. And you were saying about, I really think what we have, James and I have a show once a month. Is it the fourth Thursday, or is it the last Thursday?
Well, it's the last Thursday.
The last Thursday.
The fourth Thursday on most months.
And we have a show on the last Thursday of every month talking about nature. And we had a terrific show just last week, I think it was, and talking about... And I noticed that you posted online a picture of the monarch butterfly as it... What is it called?
Chrysalis.
Turned into the chrysalis, and it was kind of neat. It went from kind of a creepy, crawly thing into a kind of a green cocoon type thing, right?
Yeah, I'm hoping at the beginning of next week or so, it should be into a butterfly. That's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah. Now, they didn't talk about that type of critter in the Lorax, but lots. They talk about lots of critters that are being... moved out because of bad management of our nature.
Oh, absolutely.
Is that happening? Is that happening
here? A really great state that happened. I mean, when Ohio was first discovered, I mean, it was a great open space. I mean, there was a lot of natural spaces. But then after the Revolutionary War, you know, after we became a country, we didn't have much of a budget. So as we were expanding, the new government basically was saying, oh, okay, since you fought in the war, you can have, you know, whatever land you can get in Ohio. And so as we came through, we were destroying not only forests, but we were destroying prairies, we were destroying wetlands and all these other natural areas. And going along with that, you know, we were getting rid of our other animals and native plants.
Yeah.
And unfortunately,
we didn't have tufla trees, did we?
Say what again?
We didn't have tufla trees, did we?
No. Okay. Yeah, that's actually kind of funny you said that. My wife, I was Caesar, made tufla trees for our wedding. They did really look like bulls. And I said the Lord visited my wedding.
That's kind of cool. Now, does your little, you have a little boy. What is he, five or six?
He just turned five.
Do you read him the Dr. Seuss books?
Oh, yeah, he likes Green Eggs and Ham.
Yeah, they all do. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to having you back on in about a month.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, thank you, Glenn.
Yeah, well, thank you for coming on, and keep up the good work, all right?
All right, you too, sir.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. James is, he's so easy about giving you information. I just love talking with him, and I learn something every single time we talk. Now, he and Charlie got along very well. I don't think we have gotten to that stage yet, but hopefully we will eventually. Charlie loved listening to him, and he loved listening to Charlie. And boy, if you'd ever listened to those two guys talk, you'd learn a ton. Now, if you listen to James and myself, You may learn a lot from James, but you probably won't learn nearly as much from me. But I do like nature. And as I've told him several times, I really like all of nature. I just don't want them in my house, or I don't want to be picking them up. I'm not a big snake fan. I'm not even a big frog fan. I'm not afraid of them. I just not a fan. And I am. I will admit, I'm afraid of snakes, and I am afraid of fish, believe that or not, even though I have been a fisherman many times. The way I could take them off the hook is I'd wear blue jeans and I'd put them between my knees and unhook them that way. I could do it that way. I've gotten so that I can unhook bluegills and smaller fish, but you get a big coho online, I don't want to be messing with them, or even a big walleye. I don't want to really be messing with them. They have teeth. Anyway, you are listening, by the way, to WWGH. This is On the Air. I'm Glenn Coble, and thanks a lot, James, for giving us a call and straighten us. Well, you didn't really straighten us out. You just gave us an attaboy, and that's a nice thing to do. Anyway, how many publishers turned down Dr. Seuss's first book, which was And to Think I Saw It on Mulberry Street, 28. I was talking about having a little bit of experience with that. Both my elder son and myself, we've both written books, and my elder son has sold a lot more than I have. I've sold zero. I never even got it published. I'm thinking about self-publishing. It's a memoir. People really don't know me that well, so why would they care, right? I have met a lot of very famous people in my time, and I've done a lot of very interesting things, from working the Pan American Games to being at the Final Four with Magic and the why can't I remember his name? Anyway, I've done a lot of very fun things, but I'm not sure I'll ever sell that book. Why did the Grinch hate Christmas? Do you know why the Grinch hated Christmas? Because his heart was too small and he was stingy, etc. That's what it says right here, etc. Well, it doesn't say etc. It says etc. I assume that was actually in the book, and I don't recall that being written that way. Here's one that I'm going to give you, if you want to, give you 3 minutes to call in. Our number is 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you want to call in, all you get is an attaboy if you get it right. What was the rest of this title? One fish, two fish. That should be easy, but you got to put your thinking cap on. So I'll give you 2 or 3 minutes if you want to call in and give me the answer to that. All right. Which was the first Seuss book to win Caldecott honor? And the Caldecott Award was given to the most significant child's book, picture book. His very first one that he got, it's just called the Caldecott. But it is the Caldecott honor. But his very first Caldecott medal was for McElligott's Pool. McElligott's Pool. And I quite frankly don't recall ever reading that, so I'm going to have to look that one up. We're still holding. If you know the answer to what the rest of this title is, One Fish, Two Fish, what's the rest of that title? Give us a call, and we'll give you an attaboy, or I'll give you the answer here in 2 or 3 minutes, all right? Where is the Dr. Seuss National Memorial Sculpture Garden? That's kind of interesting. It's fairly close to where my mother was born. Now, if you know anything about my mother, you might be able to get a little bit easier. But I would venture to say that 99.99999% of the people that live in Marion do not know anything about my mother. And that's okay. My mother was, she got close to being famous. She did run in the 1936 time Olympic trials. She didn't make it, but she had an opportunity. If she had made it, maybe you'd know her, just like we know Jesse Owens, who did run in that. but she did not make it. But she handed down to the rest of my family, all three of my children are very fast. I think it skipped a gene. I was fast, but not very fast. All three of my children are very fast. Okay, where are we? Okay, where did the Dr. Seuss National Memorial Sculpture Garden, where is it? It's in Springfield, Massachusetts. I haven't been there. It sounds like a great place to go and look. My wife and I have a, I guess you'd call it an RV. It's a little trailer is what it is. And I've been threatening to take her places. She hates riding in our car with a trailer on the back of it because the wind kind of blows you around. But we've been talking about getting, you know, what they call a Class C trailer, which it's all self-contained. It's not a trailer. It's usually a van that's been converted, and we've been talking about doing that. See, the nice thing about that is we could go visit our son out in California and not have to go into any motels because we could, boondock. We could boondock, which means you pull into a Walmart or you pull into a Home Depot and you spend the night there. Most of them allow that, but you can do that, and we could go all the way across the country, not have to go into any motel where COVID might be roaming about. Also, we wouldn't have to go into any restaurants because we could make our own food. We wouldn't have to go into any gas stations where to use the bathroom because we would have a bathroom on board. We've been thinking about that, and we could go all the way. It takes 5 days for us to get out to California. We're slow. We're old, so we go slowly. But we've been thinking about it. When you're living off of Social Security and very little else, it's kind of hard to spring that type of money. But anyway, that's, we're kind of thinking about doing that. I don't know why I decided to get off on that. Okay, nobody called in on the rest of the title of the Dr. Seuss book that starts out One Fish, Two Fish. You're going to kick yourself if you couldn't remember this. One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish. Now, I think that's probably one of the more read Dr. Seuss stories. Green Eggs and Ham probably is another. The Lorax is another. There are, you know, a half dozen to a dozen of his books that everybody seems to know. At least they know the title, right? All right. How many children and grandchildren did Dr. Seuss have? Now, this is an interesting answer. How many children and grandchildren? You know, you would think that he would do a lot of reading to those children or grandchildren, but he didn't have any. He had zero grandchildren and zero children. So he did not get to read his own books. You would think that would have been a motivating factor in him writing those books, wouldn't you? Oh, well. Yeah, we're getting down close to our break again. We're going to go to a different type of trivia. And then at noon, we're going to have our swap shop. And if you have anything ready to sell, or if you have an event like a yard sale or a church event that you want to advertise, feel free to give us a call. Let me give you the number. You ready? You got your pencil? 740-383-9944. I'll give that to you one more time just in case you didn't grab the pencil fast enough. 740-383-9944. We'll be back after
couple minutes.
Charlie, rumor has it, 1 year Buckeye Chuck died the morning of Groundhog Day and you passed off a stuffed groundhog to the audience.
Well, yes, that did happen.
Did the crowd notice?
Well, not really. I just told the crowd he was scared to death of the audience, and they didn't know how true that was.
Honesty is always the best policy. WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
That would be a very good opportunity, feed the children. We are right now in the middle, as we all know, in the middle of the COVID-19 problem. And there are a lot of people, and there are a lot of people right here in Marion itself that could use a little hand. So if you've got, let's say you've got some extra cans of food that you haven't used and weren't sure you're going to, but they're still safe and healthy, take them to one of your local food banks. I'm not sure if they'll take garden vegetables. They may. Call ahead and see if they will take those. There are a lot of people that are a little bit short of cash right now and because of the COVID problem and not being able to work yet. And I noticed that Scott was talking about going back to school earlier this morning and what people are going to do about that. If I were still a parent, which I am still a parent, but if I were a parent of a school-age child, I'd be very concerned about allowing my child to go back to school. I think, I know that the powers that be, our superintendents and our health officials are concerned about that, and I'm sure they're doing their absolute best, especially here in Marion. I'm sure they're doing their absolute best to keep an eye on it and see where we're going and trying to make it as safe as possible. I hope you are helping make it as safe as possible by wearing a mask. I did go into a grocery store yesterday, and there was a young woman with her daughter. Neither one had masks on, even though there was a big sign on the door saying, you must wear a mask. I asked one of the workers in the store, I said, do you not tell people they must wear a mask? And she kind of told me they really didn't want to offend their customers. They assume that most of them would wear masks, and most of them do. I don't know why there are people, surely they can read. And even if they can't read, surely they've heard the news that you should be wearing your mask when you're out in public. I do a lot of walking during the week. I walk, 2 miles, a little over 2 miles most days. And I don't wear a mask while I'm doing that, but I don't come in contact with anybody. I occasionally come in contact with the little puppy dogs that like to say hi as I'm walking by. You know, that's one of the joys of my life is saying hi to the puppy dogs as I walk by their yards. Most of the time they bark at me, but their tails are wagging, and I'm pretty sure they like seeing me. It's just an exciting thing. Here comes that old man walking by my yard again. I got to scare him. I have this one place that I walk by. They must have one of those invisible fences for their dogs, and they have two dogs that are really aggressive. And every time I walk by there, they come running out the door and slam on the brakes as they get to wherever the invisible fence is. I suppose I'd be very frightened if they ran right through that. And they seem to be happy.
They don't seem to be angry at me, so I'm not sure I would be terribly frightened of them. But when I was a kid, I was had my my cheek torn out by a puppy dog, a cocker spaniel, of a friend, and then that puppy ran away from home. He had apparently hurt his little paw, and I apparently stepped on it, and he ran away from home for about a day, and they found him, I think, 2 days later at the dog pound, and brought him home, and he was okay. But I had to start the I think back then there were 15 injections you had to take for rabies, and they had started it on me at age 5 or 6 or maybe 7. I really was not fond of that. But the puppy's dog name was Duchess, and Duchess loved me after that. Once they got his foot taken care of, poor thing, had stepped on something, you know, that cut his foot. And so anyway, he was not happy when I greeted him one time and wanted to get even. Anyway, I hope you never have to deal with that sort of thing. I have lots of memories. One of the nice things about getting older is all these memories well back up in my head as I'm walking along. And I have a friendly dog. I love this dog. His name is, I knew I'd forget it as soon as I said his name was. Anyway, he's a big, I think he's a lab mix. He comes out. He also has a hidden fence. He comes out, and he is so happy to see me. He barks at me, but he is really, you can tell, he is really happy to see me. And I enjoy doing that. He's right at the end of my turn where I start back home. And so, we're both happy. I'm going home, and he's getting to see me. I wish I could remember his name. Scooby. Scooby is his name. A name anybody should remember for a dog. Scooby. Not Scooby-Doo. Just Scooby. And Scooby and I talk probably once or twice a week as I go by their house. I have three little, I don't know what brand they are, three little white critters. Pomeranians. Well, they're not Pomeranians, but my dog is a Lhasa Apso, and they look a little bit like my dog, but I don't think they're Lhasa Apsos, but they look a lot like it. And they love to go. Their daddy lets them come and sniff me, and at a distance. He's got one of those leashes that, you know, allows him to come up to me. And I guess dogs probably don't get COVID. So I like to pat him on the head and say hi. And we talk a lot. That's one of the joys I found with walking. You know, a lot of my friends say, why do you do that? You're not losing weight. Why do you walk all the time? Well, first of all, I did have a heart attack about 9 years ago, so it's kind of a way to keep my health a little bit up there. But I actually find I enjoy looking at the neighborhoods. Like I said yesterday on my show with Mike Larson, I say hi to everybody. If there's somebody that walks by me, I say hi to them. It's kind of an interesting study on the people that do not respond. And I'm going to leave that alone for this show. There's no reason for me to get into my theories on why they don't respond. I do say hi to everybody. And I wave. My circular, where I turn around, where Scooby lives, is in the woods. You know where the woods are? They're just off of Kensington there, behind the shopping mall area. And that's where I turn around and head back home. That's about the 2 mile mark. I can make it 2.25 miles if I walk up to the end of each one of the blocks, but I don't do that. I used to. Don't do it anymore. I'm getting lazy. Anyway, I don't know where I was going with that. See, that's what happens when you get old. You forget all this stuff. Well, I guess I've lost it completely. All right. Well, we'll go back and do start a little bit different type of trivia. Again, I will let you call in if you want to. Let's see. Well, no, we don't have enough time to have any call-ins. I'll just talk for the next 4 minutes, I think it is. We'll talk about. I'll give you these trivia questions and answers, and then when we come back at 12:15 or whatever time we come back, we will have Swap Shop, and you can call 740-383-9944 if you have anything that's going on. That was one of the things. Oh, I know what I'm going to mention, but it's not. I'm not going to mention it now. If you have something that's going on, you know, you have a club or you have a church that is having an event, we'll be glad to put that on for you. Also, if you're interested in sending us a postcard, you know, with some event on it, I'll be glad, more than happy to take that, and we will read it. I had a couple last week that we read, we will do it again. As a matter of fact, I have one up here on my board right now. It's the small grass trail. They're going to have on September 10th a program on edible medicinal plants. They call it Edible Medicinal Plant 101 program, and it'll be at the Tallgrass Trail on September 10th at 6 p.m. I'm trying to see if I have a phone number for you to call if you want to get in touch with them. 740-223-4161. Call that number again, is 740-223-4161 if you need information about the Tallgrass Trail Edible Medicinal Plant 101 program that's going to be taking place on September 10th, and it's going to start at 6 p.m. So I'm assuming they're doing that out there at the trail. It doesn't tell me, but they have an overhang. I doubt that they will take it inside the little house there. It's just too small. But give them a call. You may need to register. I don't know. It doesn't say anything about that on here. We will get back to some of our trivia questions when we come back. We don't have any people calling us on Swap Shop, which happens. Some weeks we have none. Some weeks we have four. When we first started it before the virus, we'd have 10 or 12, but right now it's kind of slim pickings. Not a lot of people want to go out and visit other people. Now, I like I told you earlier in the show, my wife and I are kind of looking at an RV, and I went to an RV sales place down in Delaware, and I asked them, I said, are you struggling to get customers? He told me they were doing just fine. Now, I don't know if that was a sales pitch or whether they are doing just fine. You would think that would be an area that might be a little, you know, getting inside somebody's used trailer. I hope they clean them out thoroughly, but I don't know. I did get inside a used trailer, so not a trailer, a Class C. But anyway, I don't know if that's a bad thing or not, but that's what I did anyway. So far, so good. I haven't felt bad or anything like that. My wife and I are pretty good about that. My wife goes nowhere, nowhere. If the house caught on fire, that might be the first time she left the house. Well, she does visit her sister occasionally, which is one block down from us. That's the only person that she talks to other than me. And she talked for 2.5 hours to my son last night. We had a little fight about them. I get really tired of listening to her talk on the phone for 2.5 hours when she won't even talk to me on the phone for more. Well, she hates talking on the phone. But, you know, it's her son. I understand. I like hearing him, too. We got about 30 seconds, and then we're going to Get ready for Swap Shop, and you're listening. I'm Glenn Coble, and this show is on the air. And we tried to give you a little bit of knowledge about Dr. Seuss, and also we read The Lorax. And I hope that makes you think a little bit. A lot of people think it's tree-hugging stuff, and it is. And I do hug some trees. All right, we'll be back shortly.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place.